Today, we're continuing our series of Out of Order, and we are going to be talking about the importance of loving ourselves and how that's different than what the world sells as self-love.
Welcome to the Sifted Wheat Podcast with Leslie Lamb, a counselor by profession, a minister of truth, and a lover of people. This is a safe place where she sets a path for others to learn how to move through hard seasons with confidence and grace, encouraging your faith, empowering your choices, and challenging your perceptions through the word, the wisdom from years of counseling others, and her own experience of being sifted. Here's Leslie.
Last time we started off the series with talking about love the Lord your God, and I hope that each one of you have had an opportunity to listen to that and that it has ministered to you in some way and helped you to understand more about the love of God. I also hope that this week you've sat with the scripture verse that I assigned to you last time, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And I hope that it's redefining for you love, not by cultural standards, but by the way that love was set up to be the purest love, the love of God. Today, we're going to move through loving the Lord your God into what Jesus said was equally important, but not the same. In Matthew and both Mark and Luke, Jesus breaks down the order of love through the greatest commandment. And he says, like we talked about last time, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And we broke down exactly what that means, the whole heart, the whole mind, and the whole strength. So I hope this week you've been more aware of where you love God with your heart, where you love God with your mind, and where you love God with your actions and abilities. Then he said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law hinges on these two things. And that's important to recognize because when we are talking about love your neighbor, we often emphasize love your neighbor. But Jesus didn't just emphasize love your neighbor. He said, love your neighbor as yourself, which implied that we have to love ourselves in order to love our neighbors, that we have to have a good love towards ourselves in order to exhibit a good love towards our neighbors. And so another thing that he says was that all the law hinges on those two things. So if you've ever seen a hinge, right, it's what allows it to move to and fro. So when we're talking about the law, the Lord Jesus is telling us that the law moves on those two things, the love of God and the love of self and others. And the love of self and the love of others is combined, and the love of God is what supports those other loves. And so this is what orders my relationships and my love for myself. Knowing his love for me is what reveals my value. And that, in turn, opens up the way for me to know how to love others well. So why do we have to love ourselves to love others? I'm sure you've heard that, right? Well, if you don't truly love yourself, then you can't love others. And I know that I've heard it many times, and I've said it many times, and I've had clients come back at me like, well, that's not fair because I love other people, and you can't say that. Maybe they weren't quite so combative. Some of them were when I was in residential, that's for sure. But overall, people don't like that idea because they want to devalue themselves and value other people. And that is dangerous. We have to know our own value in order for us to really value other people, right? Because boundaries is what knows my space from your space. So if I know that I am allotted a space, and in that space, I am allowed to be respected and seen and valued, then I also know that you are allotted a space where you also are allowed to be seen and known and respected and valued. And when I get that out of order, I will put myself in a space to be injured, and I will put others in a space to be injured. When I love myself the way that God loves me, then I learn to extend grace and mercy first to myself, and then I will extend that same grace and mercy to others. So we talk sometimes about vertical love, the love of God towards me and my love towards God. That's vertical. And that vertical love is what is supposed to produce that horizontal love, right? My love for other people and everyone around me. So we have to get that order correct. I've got to love God in order to receive God's love for me, in order for me to purely and truthfully love those around me. Because here's the thing, if I love others over God and myself, that is going to set me up to be hurt, rejected, misunderstood, abandoned. But then that other part is important. If I love myself over God and others, well, it sets me up to hurt, right? To reject others, to misunderstand them, to abandon them. That love, that self-love becomes God-like. And that kind of selfish love is self-centered and self-seeking. And it has the message of what I want benefits me. And that's all that matters, is that I am benefited. So no other relationship matters as long as I feel good about myself. Now, would people say that that's what they're doing? Probably not, because a lot of times we're not even really aware of the belief systems that we are operating out of. But that idea of self-love is very prideful. It's very me first, and that whatever I want is the biggest thing that matters, right? And if it benefits you, okay, great. But I'm not looking to benefit you. I'm not looking to benefit anyone but myself. And so that's what we're talking about, the difference between self-love and self-care, right? So we do need to be caring of ourselves, because again, that is a reflection that we've received the love of God and we know that we are lovable. The word says that the body is a temple, which means that we're called to take care of it. In Romans 12:1, it says, you know, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you, right? Receiving God's love, then let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So our love for God also includes taking care of ourselves, making sure that we're keeping our body healthy.
And it's not just taking care of your body, because the mind is also involved, right? So it's taking care of your mental health and your emotional health. All these are important parts of taking care of the body, which is the temple of God. And it's important for us to remember and to distinguish the differences between those two things. The life I live is not my own. I've been bought with a price, but that's not a price that puts me into slavery. That's actually a price that frees me, right? The ransom has been paid and I am free to live, but not to live in such a way that I put others at risk. And God talks about that a lot. We are not called to receive our freedom and make it a stumbling block to others. And you can look at that a whole bunch of different ways. You can look at that as grace, and my continued sin becomes a stumbling block, or my self-righteousness and my continual judgment becomes a stumbling block. So we are encouraged to take care of ourselves, right? Living sacrifices, not dead. God doesn't want us to die, but he does want us to die to the desires of the flesh. And he wants us to be set apart because he knows that that's the standard by which we will live and love well. So Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 2 about what the world calls self-love. And it says this, "For people will love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Paul tells Timothy, stay away from people like that, right? So it's two extremes. One, they're going to go after their own desires and they're going to allow themselves to bring other people into that, right? And dishonor others in their pursuit of their love for themselves. But then that latter part too, it can also be in that space of extreme religiosity where it's judgmental and it is rejecting the true relationship of God and rejecting the power that a transformed life can be. And so when we're talking about self-love, we want to make sure that we're not talking about that kind of selfish desire, fleshly love. And, you know, as I was looking at this and I was looking at the different words for love, they're really not that different. There is a difference of one letter, right? So there is the love as God has for us, and that is ahab. And then there is agab, right? Which is lust. And the word lust actually means inordinate love, right? So it's love that is literally out of order. And when we think about that, right, the flesh wants comfort. The flesh wants the desires of its heart. It wants to move in what is comfortable, what feels good to it. It doesn't want anything to come against it or to tell it that it doesn't deserve or it shouldn't have, right? That is the power of lust. My desires fuel my actions. But the spirit wants growth and healing. So God disciplines those that he loves. It tells us that in Hebrews 12:16, right? So the flesh does not want to be disciplined. It does not want to be told what to do. But the spirit recognizes that there is health and wellness in parameters. So if I recognize that there is a parameter that this is good for me and this is not good for me, it allows me to operate in a healthier standard. And that standard is the standard that actually saves us. Because the language of desire says what's good for me should be good for you too. Acceptance equals love. But the problem with that is if there's disagreement, then by definition, if acceptance equals love, then disagreement must equal hate. And that is where we find ourselves in this kind of messed up world, is that we are misunderstanding one another. And out of that misunderstanding, we have come to believe that there is hate. And there doesn't have to be. But if we're guided by the flesh and the desires of the flesh, there will be hate. Because I will hate anything that keeps me from being comfortable or keeps me from enjoying the life that I want to live. But the goodness of God is he says, what's good for you will be good for all of us, right? So when we submit our desires to God, when we love him with our whole heart, then he begins to move our desires in such a way that is good, not just for us, but for everyone around us. And that is so great for us to pay attention to and to be mindful of. There's so many people that have this idea that God doesn't care about what we want or what we like. It's not that God doesn't care, but you've heard me say this before. If it's not going to be good for us or for other people, then no, God does not want us to have that. And if we're submitted to him, we won't want that either, right? Because our desires will be aligned with what he wants for us, and we will know that it is good.
So let's look at the Ten Commandments for a minute, because I feel like this is very interesting when we're talking about the order of love. First of all, the first commandments have to do with our love for God, our honor of God. So we're not supposed to have any gods before him. We're not supposed to make any graven images or create any idols to worship. We're not supposed to take the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, we're not supposed to use his name in a way that is not congruent with his character or his likeness.
We're also supposed to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the thing that he set aside. But then we move into the fifth commandment, and it becomes about others. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Again, recognizing the value of people after the value of God. And then 9, don't bear false witness. Don't lie about one another. Don't say something happened when it didn't. In other words, don't align with the enemy with what is not true. And there's that last one, the 10th one, like my pastor Trey that you met in a previous episode, regarded as the blessing from keeping all of the other 9. Because if we do those things, if we love God first, if we love others well, then we won't covet. And you can read that for yourself. It's in Exodus, and there is a lot there. And a lot of times we gloss over it because we just don't want to look at it. But I encourage you, do that search, read for yourself, and see the building of that. And you determine for yourself, is that true, that as we acknowledge and as we abide by those other 9 commandments, then that 10th commandment becomes a blessing? Not that we shall not, but we will not covet or be jealous of others. Because you are already falling in alignment with what God has for you and what God wants for you, those boundaries that he set in order for you to live a full and abundant life. If we limit ourselves in the way that we pursue our desires, and no one wants to hear that right now, but the reality is if we do, then we don't feel like we're missing anything. We're not looking at other people around us and wanting what they have because we're content with what we have and who we have and whose we are, that we don't need what culture is telling us is what's going to satisfy us, because we already know in him we are satisfied, and by his standards we are kept safe. It's interesting to note also that the very things that Paul tells Timothy is part of the result of being a lover of yourself are in opposition to the commandments of God towards one another. So he again is pointing out this fact that when we put love of ourself above others in a negative way, again, in that lust-filled way, then the result of that is that we will be breaking commandments to God. And that is not the way that we were created to live, or the way that we were created to live in community with one another. So when I think about when I love myself most, that is what encourages a sense of pride. And that pride also brings judgment. And that can be on either extreme. We could be on the religious side of that, or we could be on the completely saturated in culture, apart from God side of that, where what I want is God. My love for self is more important than my love for anyone else. And so you have to submit to loving me in the way that is godlike. And that is not at all healthy. It's not healthy for me, and it's not healthy for the person who feels that way. And the word confirms that over and over and over again. And I'm a counselor. Lives confirm that over and over and over again. The more people begin to put themselves on a pedestal or other people on a pedestal, it does not make their life better. In fact, most times it makes their life miserable. And so that's not what we want to do. We don't want to love ourselves to the exception of others. We want to love ourselves with the love of God so that we can love others. But here's the thing, and we're going to talk more about this next. We don't want to love others more than ourselves or more than God, because that puts us in a space to be people pleasers. And if we're people pleasers, we're going to be manipulated. We're going to be set up to be abused. Right? So we're going to talk more about that, but we can't put people over God or self either, because that's dangerous as well. So we want, like we said, to love God first, because that is recognizing love in its purest form. And it's also teaching us how to love others safely. So this week, I want you to think about that. Do you love yourself? Because there's some of you who do not love yourself, and you need to. You need to receive the love of God whatever it is that keeps you from loving yourself, whether it's shame, whether it's guilt, whatever it may be, or maybe you've just been told that you're unlovable. It's not true because God loves you, and we have highlighted what kind of love God has for you. And so anything that the enemy brings against you that would disqualify you for the love of God, His word by His voice says over and over again, there's no disqualification. If we come to Him, He comes to us. If we turn towards Him, He turns towards us. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what we've said. If we decide in our hearts, Lord, I want to love you with my whole heart, with my whole strength, with my whole mind, He meets us in that. And He loves us through it. So just be encouraged that you are loved first. And then once you receive that love and really see that love for yourself, then you can safely and healthily love others. And so I want you this week to focus on that. Do I love myself? Do I give myself grace? Do I give myself mercy? How do I talk to myself? Am I condemning of myself? Am I critical of myself? Do I say things to myself that I would never say to anybody else? If that's the case, then that means somewhere along the way, you value people more than you value yourself. And so we want to make sure that we're sitting with that this week so that we can understand more of that when we get into loving others. And the second part of that is, are you a lover of self? Are you operating more in the agab love rather than the ahab love? Are you operating in lust that my desires are king? What I want is more important than what anybody else wants. I deserve to be happy. So if no one else is happy, then that's none of my concern. That's on them. That is a tricky line, my friend. And I want to encourage you to get back in alignment with, okay, I love God first, which means that I might have to say no to myself, which means that I might have to submit to some of those boundaries or parameters that He has for me, even if I don't like them. We don't like to have an ordered or a disciplined life, but the reality is if we don't, then it's going to default to decline. In other words, so many times when I sit with people and they ask, you know, I don't know how I got here. And we start to explore that. Like, how did you get to this point where you hate yourself, where you're in abusive relationships, where you've been misused and abused? The majority of the time, they will tell me that they operated in a space that just became this downward decline into where it first started at, I'm going to do this for myself because I deserve it. And so out of their feeling like they deserved something, they accidentally stepped into sin. And in stepping into sin, that staircase to sin only goes downward unless we look to the Father and start moving back upward again. He's the only one who can take us from a decline to an incline. And most of the people that sit in my office will recognize, like, not that they did it to themselves, but that there were choices that they made that they knew in the moment, like, I'm doing this for myself because it feels good, or I'm doing this for myself because I don't like the tension of not doing what feels good. And whatever that was just kept barreling them into deeper and deeper and deeper. And finally, they're at a place where, like, I don't even know how I got here, because that wasn't the intention of their heart. Initially, they weren't like, I'm going to do this and then I'm just going to prostitute myself in 5 years. No, but one open door became another open door, became another open door in the wrong direction. And they find themselves in a space where they don't know how to move forward. And so I'm here to say, if that's you, find counsel, sit with someone, even if it's accountability, right? Someone to say, look, I don't know how I got here. I thought I was making good choices. I thought I was doing what I wanted to do. And now I'm stuck in a place where I can't get out. I want to encourage you, share your story with someone. Let them into that place. Shame doesn't want to be known, but let yourself be known and ask them to help you pull you out of that pit. right? God wants to pull you out of that pit, and he wants to set you on a rock, a firm foundation. So wherever you are in this process, I want you to know that, one, God loves you. He didn't stop loving you because of the choices that you made. The enemy is telling you that. Maybe even people have told you that. He hasn't stopped loving you. All it takes is to turn back towards him and turn towards people that know him, that follow him, to make your way back, because you don't have to stay stuck. So I hope that this week you'll focus on that. And maybe some of the scriptures that I'm going to have in the notes, look back over those for yourself and ask yourself, am I operating in that? Is there any part of me that has kind of shut my heart off towards God and has opened it up towards myself and what I want, and have kind of dismissed what I know is good or what I know is right, but my desires are moving me in a direction that is apart from that? So I just want you guys to know, like, I'm not trying to show up in this space to tell you what to do, but I am showing up in this space to encourage you what I know helps. And if we don't get this order right, we are going to be subject to negative things happening in our life. I wouldn't be telling us to love God if I didn't trust that God was, one, worthy to be loved and safe to love. And so I encourage you this week, sit with the questions from last week too. Do I love God with all my heart, my soul, my strength? And if I don't, where am I lacking that? And have I kind of replaced that love for God with my love for self? Am I being rude to people? Am I being disrespectful? Do I find myself saying things and then being like, I probably should not have said that, or I don't really feel like they deserve that? Even if I'm not aware of it in the moment, do I sit with that after and say, I don't like the person that I'm becoming? Then maybe it's because you've started loving yourself more than God. And maybe because of that, you're not loving others well. So sit with that this week and be encouraged by that. And next week, we're going to pick up with loving others well. And that is a very important thing, because we don't want to just love others, right? Again, we want to make sure that the definition of love is tied to what God says love is. And I want to do that well. I want to love them in a pure form. I want to love them in the truest ability that looks out for myself and looks out for them and honors God in the process.